been too successful, and my particular opinion has not prevailed, and I, you know, I have no problem with that.
I didn't know it was your opinion that we move any guardians that we had, but to stop the input that we were bringing in, which I have curtailed immediately after my wife told me something.
Well, there's more at stake. One thing I think I feel very confident, not from an egocentric standpoint, but there's some things in organization that I feel very comfortable about, and some things are being mismanaged, and I would like to point that out, and then you can make decisions, you know, your vantage point. But I think there is some points of view that should be brought up, and from those points of view, then an intelligent individual can make decision. But I would feel amiss if I did not bring them forward.
I have these three churches, and it keeps me going till I really don't know whether I'm hardly where I'm at in time and space. So if it's your feeling that we should just move them.
No, I would not. I would not like to be quoted as saying that.
I'm not going to be quoting anybody,
no.
As I have not quoted you thus far. I'm not quoting anyone.
But I would like a discussion about that subject, and I think from that subject then...
Well, how can you avoid really difficulties like this, falling in the prey of a pathological problem like this, or a sociopathic
problem? There's ways. There's ways.
Now, what is this case, is this going to get out of hand, or do they think that this thing is going to be
not
resolved?
As far as I'm concerned.
Well, I know as far as you're concerned.
From my stance, it will not.
I'm just tired of trying to deal with what is impossible situations, and I don't know why we weren't given some background on this child to find out. I didn't even know when we took the child, for instance, that he had witnessed his mother being murdered and have
Jim,
to watch.
My God. That boy was on a particular list that was submitted by your organization. And we knew it.
And did you tell anyone in my organization this?
I knew those children, and I told him, you now have the risks.
I emphatically told him,
you have the risks. And I said that in front of a state representative.
You mentioned this particular child.
I have others in addition to our risk factors, Jim, and that's what I'm saying.
I want them out.
I don't think one case should make us make decisions from a medical point of view.
I am extended.
I can accept your and have sensitivity to
our
problems.
Our own children have given no problem in the school system. We never had a complaint till we had these children that were fostered upon us. And this is what I'm afraid, that it is just going to be repeats of this. What are you, you know, I empathize with this man.
Who is that?
Beam.
I do.
I empathize with
him. I said that. I have complete sympathy for this poor gentleman. The unsuspecting, naive individual.
I feel deficient in that he brought the child to us for counseling. And we have one psychologist in our church, and he took a look at him, and he said he isn't a product for the ordinary community environment, our home environment. Now, we did get that, but that was only 10 days ago. So we had a plan in the offing for this issue arose, that the denomination has this agricultural mission, as you know, in South America, in which we've had about 8 troubled youngsters find their way. Or at least, you know, they don't represent a social problem. They seem to be very, very happy in 27,000 acres of open spaces. But I even think that's risky because it required a lot of change of court guardianships and that sort of thing. But I was prepared to do that, even though this kid was stealing purses off of members of my parish, and then we reinforced what we considered good behavior. Once by giving him public recognition in the church, we tried everything, and this kid came to us in desperation, and he said, I don't know what to do with this youngster. One day he stole 10 different things, and we'd replaced neighbors, tools, and all sorts of things, and so his case would have been, as far as our point of view, we were going to go back to the court and try to get a guardianship with one of our denominational members. I don't know just how this works. You probably know more about it, technically, undoubtedly know more about it, and that we were going to place him in the South American Agriculture Mission because the psychologist that attends our church said that his prognosis was gloomy, that very likely he'll end up in the prison system. And naturally we wanted to do something we could to avoid that, but this case has just overwhelmed us all. We tried to give what our limited resources were to the Beam family, and then the young couple not getting anything out of it, now to find him in the middle of a criminal proceeding, it's just upsetting the life out of me.
Upsetting the life out of me, Jim.
Well, I'm sure.
It is. I hope you read that with a high degree of credibility. I feel, not probably as bad as you, but I doubt knowing you and how I think you feel on such things. I have great apprehension that, I think you have. We've got to discuss this issue, though, of the continuation of these kinds of things. I don't want to be critical, and I'm not critical.
I don't mind being critical.
Your organization cannot react fast enough. You're too thin. You haven't got the people. And
no.
There's one thing I know, Jim, and that's organization. I know it better than most, and I feel just confident as hell about that.
Well, you mean I've got 2,000 people up here, but
you mean professional people?
Is that what you mean? I don't have enough professional people to do this.
You're too thin. You're too thin everywhere. This should never have happened. Should never have happened.
I think it's not. I think we have to count it to our indulgence of human beings rather than being thin.
But
I
that's
think
an error.
I know it's an error. I'm not doubting the error of it. Yeah. That's obvious. But the thing that did concern me, that someone brought back some information to one of our secretaries that was said in the welfare department by someone, that we're going to get them and we're going to get a Reverend Reuben in here and this is the chance to stop them from all children. I knew that wasn't your sentiments. So I thought, well, if that's the case, I certainly have no war. I can turn all these children back to their various jurisdictions because I don't know why anyone would want to punish us for trying. If we have been stupid, that's one thing, but it's been stupidity on the side of the angels because we didn't know what to do when people give us these cases that nobody else will do a thing about. And I did see when I heard from Marcelin that we couldn't, and I think she got that directly from you or her superior, that we should not have this type of child. So I have put a roadblock to the influx of any more. There will be no more. But now I'm very strongly considering sending the children back to the various places that we got them.
I think that's a premature decision today.
That's why I want to check. I'm not saying yes or no.
I'm saying that that's a big enough issue, and I hope I can help in making a very constructive decision on that. But
do you know any
premature about it?
Do you think that these people are going to be, anyone in the department is going to get this thing in to get us more public relations problems, bring this out in a public manner?
In my department?
Yes.
Never.
It won't happen.
I vow that, Jim, I cannot possibly tolerate such things. And dealing with, we deal with over 300 children a year,
mm-hmm.
and we have not had, in the 6 years I've been here, have we had anything go awry that has been brought to my attention.
Well, I have even more faith than I had before from your handling of Harvey's case, but you see, we stupidly blundered into that situation.
That is not true.
Well, it is true that we stupidly blundered into it.
But I would disagree. I'm only saying I want that used as an illustration of what we do constructively together in a low profile and still achieve our goals.
Well, I'm open for the low profile, and I'm surprised that Tim did not forewarn me that you had no background on this case.
He furnished me a list of kids.
Mm-hmm.
He now has with another lady that came with him.
Do you recall who was with him?
The lady was an accountant.
Tishler Ruth.
Yes, Tishler.
Right. I'll get that list, and those children you would probably suggest they should not be in our jurisdiction.
I'm not saying that. No.
Well, what do we do with them?
I'm saying that we should, if they're concerned about the risks.
I am, and I want your opinion. I'm not going to quote it. I can move rapidly. I think that we are playing with dynamite having these types of children in a community where we had tremendous a rapport, and we still do with the school system, but the only way we did it, frankly, off the record, Mr. Denny, was to back up everything. Every time a teacher gave them some difficulty, we'd have to reinforce that by denial of privileges or rewards in terms of privileges also, such as trips to Disneyland or educational experiences. But it's been every meeting here in this valley is taken up with the problems of a few of these children.
It'll sap your energy.
It's already
You've got
done that.
More important, in my judgment. There's a bigger program involved, and it's not.
Well, that's why I want to get that list. I think. That
well, there are not. I'm identifying that the list happened to be where his name appeared. Now,
do you remember the children? Did you particularly point out to them the ones that were really problematic?
I looked at the list, and I quote, "I'm glad you have the risks now, Tim."
He's very busy, and he too overextended, but I'm surprised he should have told me. He should have told me that. I did not know, because if I would have seen a red flag then when you said, "I'm glad you have the risk."
Yes. And think of this, Jim. Where would I be today if Mr. And Mrs. Bean's home was licensed in my jurisdiction? If that was a licensed foster home and this happened, where would I be?
Yes.
I'd be where Mr. Bean is today. So why do you think I make statements like that to Tim? I'm going to say that in front of Mrs. Tish. I'm sorry.
Mrs. Leroy.
Mrs. Leroy. There's a degree of sophistication, but I have great admiration for Tim. He catches quickly. He's a very quick mind. You don't have to draw any pictures.
Well, we didn't catch that quick. This
one
went over.
What I'm saying is, I don't. And you don't have to listen to this. But I'm saying
you have no fear. You have no fear that I'm going to listen to this.
I don't want to overreact. I don't want us to overreact. I want us to do it constructively. And I'm saying we can sit down and come up with conclusions that we can still meet those goals and objectives that we feel are humanitarian in this valley.
We'll do that. If I
not to say get the 50 kids out of here. I've got 50 kids that I'm concerned about, as you are. That a decision like that is emotional.
There were 50 that you were concerned about?
Yes.
50?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I didn't know I had 50 problem areas.
I don't know that they're problem areas. You're talking about guardianship.
Oh, you mean our total guardianship.
Yes.
I see. Well, now that's true.
I don't know that all of them.
Some of them are making straight A's, and
I know, that's why I'm saying, why are we making a broad overall decision?
Well, all I want to do is to eliminate those pathological problems, or the sociopathic problems. If we have any more of this, I don't think we can cope with. I've never struck a child in my mortal life, but I frankly can empathize.
That's what surprises me about this one. I know your teachings. I have utmost respect for you. I've said that thousands of times, and publicly I've said that. But you can't be responsible.
Well, I'll just tell you frankly, I would have been, this youngster has been such dilemma, I can see how that man lost his cool with the school keeping him busy night and day running with a child.
So how do we protect them? That's what I'm considering.
But we don't get in it. We don't get in this troubled area. This child, he wasn't a product for a home, in my opinion.
That's right, he was not. But I'm not crying over spilt milk. I want to make something solid for the future. I can't worry about yesterday. You know, I've got to really move ahead.
I have to, because I feel a moral responsibility that this young couple had a child and never wanted a penny of assistance. And he tried within the limits of his ability, and he influenced 15 youngsters to such a positive degree that they learned mechanical skills. He's a very expert mechanic. In fact, he graduated has a degree in social service. So the youngster Mr. Bean is not unaware of how to be a good human being, and he's always been so. So this moment has been a moment of desperation.
We're going to try to show that.
If he gets a felony conviction or something like this, I don't know what in the world's going to affect our congregation. They're in just bedlam about
it. But it was, Jim, because of organizational problems, and let's address the real problem.
Well, then I agree with that, but then we all should be indicted and not him. I mean, if it's, you see, he didn't, when we bring a situation here, I feel moral responsible.
We may split on an opinion. I say that everyone's responsible for their own destiny, and I have that philosophy, and I cannot say that somebody else. What I want to encourage is, and I spent 2 hours with Mr. Carter today, and I don't spend 2 hours with anybody on any one case, Jim. I want you to know that I'm
unfortunately.
Well, we've got a lot of cases.
I say, unfortunately, we are taking too much of your time. I didn't get my point. We have taken too many hours. That's why I want to get out of this abominable business. We never bothered your office at all until we got to this guardianship. You never had any of our children. Our children are honorable children, the children that have grown up in our community. Everyone may not agree with our approach to life, but our lifestyle has produced, well, 1 year in the Mendocino College, 2 out of 3 of the honor roll students were members of People's Temple.
So then I think I am supporting a statement, let's not get rid of X number of youngsters that are under guardianship. That is not the issue.
Okay.
You know, I don't want you to do something like that. I can't support something like that. I can support, let's sit down and see what we're going to do, or what we can analyze.
Off the record, what is the likelihood of this coming to a conviction against the man?
I don't want to cop out to saying that
I wouldn't expect you to be a prophet.
I'm hopeful that some of us can keep that at a very low ebb. I'm encouraged at this point in time in the proceedings. I think we can. I know one thing.
That gives me a lot of...
That child, though, Jim, is not going to be in Mendocino County for long.
I don't want this child in Mendocino County. I hope you realize I don't want him here.
He does not belong
I'll
here.
I'll pay. I will assist you if you can get him in. I tried to get him in a boarding home school, and they wouldn't even take him for $300 a month, and our church was going
to
pay it.
We're going to pay $700 a month to get him out of this valley.
We'll help. Do you think I want that child kept in this valley?
Well,
my God,
see, we've got a problem because there's some problems here that depending on the jurisdictional amount. I hope, Mr. Carter, we're not the enemy.
I know you weren't, but I heard this one comment from somebody in the department, and this Mr. Rubin totally ignored his responsibility in the case, and that's what I wish you'd keep him out of it because.
Who is Mr. Rubin?
Well, his relative, he's a fundamentalist. Hellfire and Brimstone Baptist preacher in the Bay. I wish he could be kept out of the thing because they will not protest. I know Mrs. Rubin nor the Beams will not protest the placement of this child under your jurisdiction.
Well, but Mr. Rubin is the father?
No.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Rubin, he's a grandfather.
He's the grandfather.
And the welfare worker said he was going to be brought into the case, and I could see nothing but a lot of bedlam with that because he wouldn't even lift his hand for this child. One of our people approached him and he was very antagonistic because we didn't want the responsibility. Now, I think it's the ex, must be the ex-husband of this woman who now attends our church, the Mrs. Rubin who was there. And if she could be kept involved in it, and Mr. Beam, I'm certain they'll relinquish any kind of responsibility that you personally ask. They will do whatever your decision is. In fact, as I said, I would even help financially get this child the kind of treatment he needs. There's no problem along that line. But bringing in people who never assumed an ounce of responsibility, who only broadcast at all, and they've never one time lifted a finger to help with this child.
The thing with that individual, if we're keen on the same one, he has some background to this child that we have to find out about.
Well,
but that makes our case as far as, to a degree, Jim. I've got to say that.
I see. You've got to bring him in the matter.
He's got some information that we need from the juvenile standpoint.
Well, does this bring him in the information of the proceedings with us?
With you?
Yes.
Not that I... You know, all these proceedings are confidential. I don't see...
I know the man. He won't be confidential if it's brought into the... if the church has brought into the issue.
So we got some concern there, huh?
We have real concern.
Gee. Oh, my. Well, I only know at this point in time which way we were proceeding.
I think if you're just asking information about the background, he'll give it.
Well,
if you, because he don't want the first finger of responsibility, that I know. So I don't think that would be any problem. But if it's an issue of what has happened in the background of the child, he will use it, because I'm the largest church in San Francisco, by far the largest, and he will like to make an issue of it. He, in my opinion, and I don't evaluate people quickly, but he's an unprincipled man.
Lovely. Well, if that's not too far down the line, Jim, I'll see what I can do on that one. I didn't realize that I got him just as the grandparent and nothing further, and you're giving me a profile here of somebody that I was unaware of.
Well, that's objective, too. I know a lot of good clergymen, and I've got many good Baptist friends in the Afro-American community, but this gentleman is not, he's not considered one of the better by a good number of Baptists I know, including the head of the Federation, Dr. Smith.
But I got the impression wrong that he had raised this child for a while?
I cannot say. I know that when, I cannot really be objective about that. I can only say that when we got into it, I did everything in my power to avoid getting into it. And because I didn't know any of his history, but I knew just one look at the child that the child was a problem. I had that much intuitive lay sense, and so a couple of our members tried to approach him, and he was very, very hostile and didn't want to assume any responsibility, because the mother had had the grandmothers. I recall I have so many members. 2,000 here, 4,000, nearly 5,000 in San Francisco, and about 5 in Los Angeles, so you can imagine what I have to keep in my mind. But as I recall, she'd had some heart spell. And for that reason, there was nothing more she could do with him. He'd started a fire somewhere, I believe, I don't know what kind of a building, maybe it was a public building. He'd organized a gang. That I didn't know either, but I'm telling now what I have in retrospect. But it was during that period where he had a gang, and I guess the gang was even paying him so much. Oh, God, I wish I'd known all this. But if there's any information you need from him to make your decision, I couldn't see myself how you'd have any problem in that the Beams, nor Mrs. Rubin, going to fight your jurisdiction over the child, because we know that you place the child in the area that he needs to be. So I just didn't know what the particular reason was for him to be brought into it.
Well, he could be, if we're not going to place him with the grandmother, then why aren't we placing him with the grandfather?
Oh, but he'll never take that job.
You know that. Do we know that? See, that's how we get involved.
Well, I see.
It's just a standard.
I see.
Contact him. It's not that we
anything. Well, you just asked him. What I was hoping, if you could avoid the whole setting of the scenario that's going here, or any of the subtle nuances, and approach him about custody. Now, that I think you're going to get a flat no on.
That's all we're interested in.
That's what he gave us, was a flat no. But he is not regarded well in the Baptist Federation, and I have good friends in the Baptist Federation. He is a gossip monger and that type of thing, and so I could just see I was having a whole lot of problems about we're beating children and this kind of thing, which obviously I would like to avoid. It's not going to hurt us with our friends, but it certainly doesn't help us to make new friends. That's the enlightened self-interest of the case. Now, if it would be a matter of him taking the child, I'd say proceed. You can ask him if you would just get to the point and ask him if he'll consider it. I doubt it.
All right. Well, that's kind of an automatic with us.
Mm-hmm.
The automatic, I think you have insight into. We see grandparents, grandmothers, aunts, uncles, anybody, and that's just standard. We don't eliminate somebody without knowing the background. And as I said, that's already pre-programmed. It's just kind of a natural approach. I wouldn't pick just one person for just picking purposes.
Mm-hmm.
We do.
Well, I think that's all you have. I see your rationale. The way it came to us was in the typical innuendo of a small community, that he was being gotten to goad us, and I thought, well, that's possible. That's because he would probably be a bit I don't know. I really don't know his disposition to us, frankly, other than he was not kind when they asked him to assume responsibility.
If you want to sit down and discuss the overall picture in a lot of depth, then just let me know and tell me the place where you want me to be, and I'll be there. I'll be there, we will try to resolve. And this we will keep as low from my perspective as I can. And I demonstrated this, I think, in our last situation. I don't think anything's gone wrong in that.
I have a great deal of faith, and you've got a lot of solid support. Because obviously, as you can see about me, we learn things in contact with each other.
Yeah.
This kind of loyalty I have about my parishioners extends to anyone who is good to people and who serves people well. And when you put a lid on, as I say myself, a stupid move that we ever allowed Mrs. Marble to invite our people into moving someone for her. Now, I call that stupid. And I have to be very frank about our own evaluation. That was utterly stupid of us to move a patient for Mrs. Marble at her request and leave her hands...
It was a learning experience. We didn't get damaged, any of us, I don't think.
We could have.
Unfortunately, we could have. And I think it demonstrates all I'm trying to do is bring about a high degree of credibility between yourself and me.
I want to demonstrate
that as often and as every place I can.
Well, frankly, I think it's been demonstrated, and I want to quit bothering good friends. I don't mind bothering people who are...
It's never bothering.
Well, it is a bother to take up the time of a man who is dedicated to an entire county in trying to meet the needs of people who no one else in society can assist them. And I'm just extremely troubled that we have to be here in 1 month or 2 months twice now. We're on one for a senior now, a geriatric problem now for a juvenile.
Can I leave it this way that whenever you want to meet, name the place, I'll be there. The hour, I don't
care.
You
can call me. I will cancel some things. I'm supposed to go out now, and I'll be gone till tomorrow afternoon. I will meet any place, any time that you wish me to meet.
Let me get my calendar, and I will get back to you as soon as I can on it. It's going to be a couple days because I've got two big things tomorrow. Part of that, I've got to oversee that court action tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. I can believe that.
All right. Too much in that one already.
I would suggest that you look closely into Reuben, that he will not, I can almost say it with adamant certainty, he will not assume the custody of the child. But right. And he can only create
gonna
this
happen,
problem.
I've got the mental note on that one.
Please look into it with some scrutiny, just as I will look into everything you tell me.
I want to make sure in this overseeing of this action tomorrow that Mr. Carter is satisfied, ultimately, that he feels fairness, objectivity was carried out on the behalf of our department. We are working for him. We're working for everybody out here. We aren't subjective on our approach, and I want that demonstrated before the bench.
Well, now, if no family will assume him, what can be done?
We can find a place. We have many, many places.
You will have to keep him in this county, though.
We don't feel that there's a facility at this point in time.
I hope not.
We do not feel there's a facility in the county.
You'll have terrifying results. You will have terrifying results. I can tell you in closing that he has drained me. This one lad has drained me more than any lad I have ever met.
You're right. I've met with him a very few moments of my life, and I have sympathy for your energy on that issue. I've spent time with him, too.
I think someone quoted you or said to me, you were very kind to talk with a group of them before, that he was lost at 4 years of age, and I'm afraid that we dolts should have seen that.
That's right.
If you do set this interview, that you can tell us some institution we can send children to. I wouldn't mind allocating a certain part of our budget when these people come to us, because they'll never be brought back up here again, I can assure you.
Okay, Jim,
if you can give me alternatives where I can...
get back. I'll be in court all day tomorrow in the afternoon. I have a CAO thing. In the morning I have a board commitment, then I'm on my way to SAC for a day.
Oh, dear.
I'll get back to
you. Okay, well, you let Stone know if you can't get through my phone. You let him know whenever you want me to.
I will do that. And by the way, when I attempted to call you back the other evening, no one answered the ring. I don't know.
Is that so?
I did not ignore your call, is what I want to make sure of. If you felt I didn't get back to you, I couldn't.
Well, I meant for you, of course, to call me collect, and I don't know whether that was made too clear.
I don't. That money is no particular problem with me. It's just I want to resolve issues. And,
well, I didn't know what you're. I know it's not with you, but I didn't know what kind of a budget you were faced with these days.
No. It's always warm to talk with you, Jim. And,
thank you.
I will get back to you on that scheduling. Hope we can do that soon.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello?
Yes, is Mr. John Dahl in, please?
No, he isn't.
I see. Would he be at the office, do you know?
No, he's up.
Hi, Sheriff.
Oh, hi, Jim. How are you?
Oh, beleaguered. Beleaguered.
Yeah.
I try to be the father to my parish, and when you've got 2,000 some members, it gets a little bit tough to get so involved in their individual problems as I do.
Yes, I would think so, probably.
But I have started thus far, and I couldn't reverse it now, whether I wanted to or not. And Tim said you'd like for me to call you.
Yeah, I'd like to get a chance to sit down and talk with you tomorrow if we could, Jim. A couple of things came up out of this that sort of bothered me a little bit. Are you going to be around at all tomorrow?
Oh, dear. Looks like I'm going to have to go swinging back to Los Angeles on a matter that we have a geriatric apartment unit that we have to, we have a zoning situation that means a difference of, if we get a zone one way and I have a good connection there, that it looks to me I'm going to be forced to go back there. What's the problem that's bothering you?
On this thing with involving Mr. Beam and Anthony.
Yes.
I don't know. I got a couple of calls that upset me.
Now this is what I wanted to find out. You got calls. Tim told me that someone called you threatening about votes. Now who do you have names on? Who these?
Oh, that's the he's an attorney. Can't think of it.
Shaken.
Shaken.
But if he mentioned votes, he's way out of line.
Well, this is the second time that he's called me, and on both occasions he starts talking about we've got 2,000 votes and we supported you, and in inferring that he owns me, and I got Jim. Nobody owns me.
I have no desire to own you, nor did he get any such idea from me. Some of our parishioners are at an all-time low morale on this, if you can empathize. We've been very community involved, and here this kid gets a sociopath, and my past experience have been no criticism of him. He worked with about 15 youngsters before this lad, and had success. He trained them in mechanics, and never once a complaint. We've got having to get now, because I don't know what's going to come of this situation, getting witnesses outside of the church, even to the kind of character he's been. This youngster, I feel a deficiency in myself that he'd been brought to my attention time and time again.
Yeah, well, from what I understand, he's definitely been a problem.
Oh, Mr. Denny told me that he's worst case he'd seen. But anyway, I feel really bad that here's a young couple didn't get a penny for rearing him, and at his wit's end, if he did spank him, he was at his wit's ends. I teach against corporal punishment,
right, I
only as a last resort. Although I'm not so sure, as Duncan James told me, that he said, I think it's necessary times, and I wonder if we haven't been, over the years, we have made some mistakes by not having enough firmness, but we did try to reinforce positive behavior with giving him trips and let him go to Disneyland. But this kid is too much. He, for instance, brought up a purse of $100 and some in it, and he'd stolen the blessed thing. I had a feeling about it, but I rewarded him with, gave him even a cash reward.
He turned it in.
Yeah, he turned it in, but he'd lifted it.
He had stolen it.
And one night, 10 different people he'd stolen things. I tell you, this was the stupidest thing that my social welfare department, our church's own welfare department, got in to let these youngsters come in from these ghettos. I wanted to allocate, this is one place where we have some differences of opinion, I wanted to allocate some money in Los Angeles or in the Bay and start a home there. Because I said we're going to run into this kind of problem, but I was overridden by some of our more progressive people in the field of social service. I kind of think they're out of touch, you little utopianist. Utopianistic.
Well, certainly can happen a lot of times.
Well, anyway, so we ended up with this lad. And then again, they didn't have a background on him. My God, I would have put a barricade at 101 if I had heard that this kid at 4 years of age had witnessed the slaying of his mother and had to have his dad make him or impose upon him to wipe up the blood. Right then, I would have known it would take more than any individual family could have provided.
I didn't know. I hadn't heard that he'd been really involved in
Lord. He run a gang. I got into this, he's run a gang, a Crips gang, at this tender age, he had a Crips gang in which they give him so much of a divvy on everything they stole.
He was running the gang.
He was the gang leader. And he's a kleptomaniac. He's put some gray hairs on my head. I know, without a doubt, he's put them on there. One night we dealt with him. He's so ingratiating and so manipulative. I would say he's a borderline genius, is my opinion. But he has, according to a psychologist who attends our church, he's sociopathic. He said, you better wash your hands of him. So I feel really bad that we did not get to the assistance of this kid before he was frustrated to the point of that he's given him a shellacking with a switch, he says, and I guess rumor that I had. Did Duncan share you some things that I talked to Chief about whether I should have given them to you, because I wanted to give them to you in a proper perspective. Did Duncan tell you anything I mentioned to you?
No, I talked to Duncan early this morning for a few minutes.
Well,
today.
These people were talking in parables because I didn't let them know everything. All my concern was not with you and your department, and I whatever support we gave you in the first place would be repeated if it was done tomorrow. I don't know where he's getting into votes. He's probably crying in his way for help in a most frustrating situation. But if he did, I'll certainly reprimand him for even suggesting.
It just upset me that he should talk this way.
It doesn't have nothing to do with our regard for you. That's where things go. The Board of Education, they didn't know this. Counselor said they'd known the background of the kid. The kid, the custody services have never been called.
Well,
but who knows?
One of the things that the other thing that Mr. Chapin is it?
Shaken. Yes, he's Jewish. Shaken.
Of course, was talking that we had a very prejudiced deputy as far as the church goes. And
well, now that's
this could be true. I understand that he's been involved, and I didn't realize this until this last week that he had been involved with a person in the church.
Well, I'll give you some background.
When I reviewed the report this morning, there was no indication of this at all.
I'll give you some background on this, and you can have it from our perspective so you have a little more empathy from where they're coming. They know how I feel about you, and I don't, no way, I hope that they were not conveying, certainly they've not conveyed to me any sentiment of withdrawing any kind of support or trying to manipulate support in the future on this case. We are desperately overburdened here by a small segment of lunatic fringe, I called the community, who's been, I don't know if you noticed the ad, people calling, impersonating my voice, for instance.
Oh, I know. I've talked to a bunch of people, and some of these people are pretty mixed up.
They represent a small segment, and we do have an influence with a real balanced numbers. I think it showed when we were in the, in various elections that we've done for the school, not only your election, but we're able to marshal a lot of good, sane people, but they're quiet supporters, and they come to us in that manner, and rather than in an overt manner like this idiotic fringe. I think it's a small fringe, but my, they have bedeviled us to no end. I'm sorry they're bothering. Whether they heckled you with our problems, too?
Well, I've talked to, I don't think they're friends of yours, but I've talked
to some
of the people that seem to be very opposed to the church, you know, and a lot of them, well, not all of them in Redwood Valley, but such right around that, my God, they come up with some of the craziest two and two making five combinations I've ever heard of. They're really reaching, but I realize that you're fighting a battle all the time.
I think it all boils down to Dr. Schmidt, who's a good friend of ours, who's the head of the Federation. And we have an equally good relationship with a couple, three ministers, and they say every time that they check down some of this idiocy, it boils down to one thing, and that's prejudice. But in to override that, we still can influence a couple of thousand people outside the community who have given us support for our humanitarian projects and things like that, who are very good citizens. This element is, I think, I hope I'm not exaggerating it. No, it may be much larger than I think,
but it seems to be
a lunatic fringe.
These are the people that come up with some of the strangest ideas. They carry on and carry on, and they take a couple facts and it makes it say something else altogether, and they imagine the darndest thing.
Well, don't hesitate to ever pass this on without in the persons. You can't do that, of course, that would compromise your office, but if you hear some idiotic rumor that we can put to rest, sometimes I think it's necessary, and other times I think it's best not to even dignify. Frankly, my idea was not to dignify them, but the public relations department of the church thought we ought to make an offer. I said, I wouldn't even dignify them. I said, our friends need no proof, and you're not going to convert bigots.
No,
bigotry is something
true.
You don't convert.
And you've got to be very careful to not go on a defensive so much that it looks like you.
That's my opinion.
I believe you protest this too loudly.
Think so, and that was almost, strange enough, almost my sentiments. But I yielded this time, but I said, this is the last. I said, now, we've had about, from 121 offers of people telling the most, it's amazing. 121 people have come forward for this reward. I think it's 121 now, seeking the reward based on the most ludicrous stories I ever heard in my life. And when you boil it down, it's usually just somebody that's drunk over a bar who wouldn't have a penny if you were to sue him in the first place. And that's what I told the attorneys in our church. I said, this is absolutely pointless. You won't stop the gossip because they know that they can't lose anything by defamation. They won't have as the old saying goes, the proverbial pot nor the window to throw it out of. So
many of them will hear a story that has no basis whatsoever, and they just thrive in retelling this and embellishing a little bit on it.
I think our size is one thing. We happen to be probably 10 times larger than any other church, and whether we have in the years been as low profile as we should have, I think we did. You know, for instance, in the election, I don't think anyone ever really knew but our friends. So, because I was so afraid that some of that lunatic nuts would come out and it would be adverse to us getting the change we needed in the sheriff's department, I think we are pretty low profile, because I know the election went along, we got the quiet support, our people all went to the polls and voted, and we did the same thing with some other people that we wanted to see elected and have been very successful in doing it, as a supervisor, for instance.
Right.
But I don't know what we do other than just being what we are, an interracial group, that causes all this. We don't knock on people's doors. We don't ask for assistance. We never have asked for any assistance that we've ever gotten. For instance, Mr. I'm so tired tonight. I've been up for a night. Who is it owns all these pairs around us and has he's a Catholic, a very fine gentleman. Oh, goodness sakes. What's the name of the gentleman that owns all the property next to us?
Barra?
No, Barrow. He's been kind of, that isn't it. Oh, Mr. Barrow, I know who you're speaking of. Well, you'd know his name as well as you'd know your own, probably, if I could think of it. He has a pear, pretty much of a corner on the pear market here, and owns...
Sterling Norgard or Alex Thomas.
Alex Thomas. He gave us $1,000 out of the clear blue just because of the kind of things he'd seen us do around here. We never ask a soul for a thing. We never proselytize. We don't evangelize in any way, as you're probably familiar in the short time you've been here. We just don't go from door to door asking people for church to come to our church or to give us any support.
I know when I hear these things and people will, wherever I'm at, somebody will start to say some of these things. There's some story that they've heard, but they're telling it as fact. And I just make them pinpoint it back, and I'm not trying to convert them one way or the other.
No, you can't do that. That's not your job.
Tell me what you know from your own personal knowledge, what you actually have seen yourself. Well, they don't know. Somebody else told them. But did that person see it? No. No, somebody else told them. And you make them, the only thing, the best way I can see is to make people start thinking themselves, think on their own that, hey, this stuff doesn't have any basis. But anyhow, that's not what I wanted to talk to you about, although we get on to this thing. But on this case,
did you catch any fish, by the way? I called earlier and they said you were fishing. I hope you
caught. Well, we were going to go, and then my mother, the whole thing, my mother has gone away for a couple, 3 days. My wife went by her place this evening to pick up her mail, and somebody had broken the house and went all through the house. So we went over there instead of going fishing.
I'm sorry.
It's going to take my boy, but it doesn't appear they got anything other than made a
I hated the other night. They said they bothered you when you had been to the Little League, and we will try not to be of any further bother.
No, I appreciate being called, and if there's any way that I can help, I will. I just didn't appreciate having this thrown at me in such a manner that...
I don't, the disregard, Shake, I don't think, I'm not trying to be protective of my membership. I am guilty of subjective feelings about my membership, naturally. But Shaken comes off in a manner that others have said that they thought he meant something, and I've known Shaken for some years, in which he wouldn't mean it in the way that it sounds. I don't know what the business he would have to remind you of the election. I think that's out of line. I'll talk to him about it. But who is it? Did you get another couple? You said a couple of calls. Did anyone else do that?
I thought
someone might be one of these impersonating calls, but Shaken is a legitimate member of our church.
And he's the guy. I'd spoken to him before, and I knew him. I don't recall the other name. Just offhand.
Well, if you do, I'd like to run it down, because we have had asinine things like calling up a radio station. Fortunately, the radio man would know us and say we're going to blow the radio station up. Now, that's
That was a couple of the things that I...
That is the devious...
Valley had talked about.
Now, that's the deviousness that I'd like to catch. I would like to catch the devils that really exercise to cause community disruption for us, because if there were any people given more to...
If there was some way that we could ever know where these calls were coming and put a tap on the phone so we could lay it right back to where it came from, it might be very, very surprising to some of these people that are doing all this.
I'd pay a small fortune to find out, because I know that impersonating is being done. It happened to me with a social worker, and she was insulted by me and never bothered them. They were pretty clever. This is the cleverest opposition we've ever had. And it's always the same. I've really brought it down to about three people, though. They always give the same description of the man who does it and the woman. There's a man and a woman. And I called this woman one day, and she said to me, well, you know, very cold. And I said, how are you? And finally she began to warm up. She said, you didn't call me the other day. I said, no, I hadn't called you. She went into it, and it was terrible, the things that had been said. Terrible. And instead of her impersonating himself as me, it's somebody that knows me, because he tried to mimic the laryngitis that I've been having rather chronically for 2 years, because I speak seven times a week.
I don't know how you keep going like this.
Well, I
don't know how you do it.
I really am somewhat on the side of the fool for trying it, but my doctor says that with the exercising that I do between times, and he said I'm one of those few people that can get by with 2 or 3 hours sleep, but the only thing that doesn't hold up is the larynx, and we have a speech surgeon in our a throat specialist in our temple, and he says that strangely enough that there's no harm even that he can see ostensibly, because I don't smoke or drink. He said if I smoked or drank, I would probably be doomed for cancer at an early age. But all I have is just some aggravating nodules. Anyway, to make this short, Salisbury told me some time ago that I should share with you when I heard little things, and there are things that Mr. Shaken didn't even know about, but he might have known about this case, and that's how that got brought in. I'm again derelict that I did not get to you, but if anyone knew my schedule, they would know.
Well, I don't know your schedule, but I know that every time that I ask, is Pastor Jones around today? Tim? No, he's gone here. He's gone there. It seemed like you're always...
I did want to give you some things that the chief thought that I ought to share with you. that have been the kind of thing that people outside of our church have brought to us, and you can weigh them with a grain of salt. You do the same for me. When you hear anything, please bring it to me. I will not be insulted. I've heard everything about me. Since these 121 called, I've heard that I've run away with $8 million of church assets. I wish we had $8 million of church assets. I certainly wouldn't run away with 8 cents, but we could certainly do a great deal for humanity if we had $8 million of church assets, which we don't have. I've heard everything under the sun. I'm supposed to be a philanderer and have 5 or 6 babies through the community. Some of these people's minds must just have nothing else to do but to think about the people that have some success. And I think some of the things I'm going to mention to you, you'll see the same. Now, a journalist, this is the only thing concerned me. Some weeks ago, we had an article in the Press Democrat, and it was a good article. But in the process, the reporter mentioned how I felt about law enforcement, were they racist and so forth. I said, I have the highest respect for Chief Salisbury. I thought she was talking about the chief. And then she asked me what the opinion was of you, and I said the same, the highest. And I did not say we'd supported her because I didn't support you. I did not know what her angle was. But I said he's been a very good sheriff. But in this process, she mentioned something that she'd heard about a Ken Kimes who had been drinking one night and had been involved in a head-on collision, which allegedly had totaled a squad car. And she was wondering, two or three people or something had said to her that nothing had ever been done about it.
So, very much said something today that you mentioned.
Good. Okay. Well, now, I'll go on with the rest of this, because I did not give it. He told me to let you know these things. Now, Deputy Chuck Jackson indicated that he and the other northern deputies were not going to abide by the rule only to carry weapons or something.
I suspended Jackson.
Okay, you're on top of that. They've carried extra weapons in the past, and they said they would continue to do so. Now, that came from another source, a businessman in the Ukiah area. Now, third...
Spending Jackson, I think he was trying it to see if we were going to back up what we were going to do.
Well,
he found out that we did.
I didn't even know whether it was true or not. Because so much of the stuff that I hear...
What he said he was going to do, and we said, no, you're not. And he said, yes, you were. And we said...
Well, just like the rumors I hear about myself, some of these things may not have an ounce of truth, but I'll just...
Yeah, the kind thing, there was a head-on collision and a drunk driver, but he was on patrol. There was no indication that he was...
You don't have to explain this to me.
Yeah, well, I was just going to mention it to you because I knew what this one was. The guy that hit him was the drunk driver driving on the wrong side of the road without any headlights on.
Now, here's what really did concern me, from the standpoint of what I feel we've gotten now, the best law enforcement that we could possibly have, both city and county. And it has been said by some of the deputies talking around in restaurants and places that the department is like Bartlemy. It's still behind the scenes. Running the department is a man named Wilson. Now, let me go on to the next. So, what I was concerned about. Sergeants and others have commented that Wilson is looking for John Dahl's job pretty seriously. I don't know a thing about this Wilson. Don't even know the man. I wouldn't know if I met him. They've also indicated that that a quote was made by this Wilson that you were in trouble with votes, which I told Salisbury I think was no truth to that whatsoever. I haven't found any disaffection in your administration, and we pick up a lot of information, being as large as we are. We pick up a lot of information about any department, and when I feel somebody is doing a good job and they've been loyal to the community and serving the right ideals, I let them know. Otherwise, I just let it go out one ear and through the other. Now, there was a general order to the effect that hollow point shells were no longer allowed because of the damage to human bodies, I guess, according to an ACLU decision. The response to the order, according to some of the flack in local drinking places and so forth, was that it would be ignored by some of your men. Now, let me see. Another person in General Hospital, a switchboard operator, overheard something Sue Rescue's husband, while he was in jail, I don't know Sue Rescue from Adams off Ox, someone by the name of Dodge was seeing each other, and it was causing some criticism. Now, some of these may be old and already behind your behind you in terms of being resolved, and some of them may not have any basis in fact. Then Deputy Nelson, that's how the Chaykin got into this. Now, that's the only case that I shared with Chaykin. Chaykin does not know anything of the arrest of this, and I wanted, that's one of the reasons I called, because Chaykin had mentioned that he did speak of this. I did make the make mention of Nelson because we had heard that different times Nelson's response about us in terms of being very large, in terms of having guns in our basement, we don't even have a basement, in terms of having our tower armed. That's why they went into that background of prejudice, not per se in the, what he's doing in this case. I knew, that's why I wanted it brought to your attention, although I hoped Tim could, and then Tim said it'd be a conflict if he did, because he's on the part of the prosecution.
He's worried about that.
And so I tried to get hold of you myself first, I should tell you. No one would have called you, but I couldn't reach you. I tried your own, Tim was kind enough to give me a number at your office, but I think I tried on Friday and I got no one. It didn't answer at all. It just rang and rang. And I was out of town calling long distance, so that's why I had to relegate some of this. But then with all those comments made, now this is our chance, supposedly, Nelson said, to nail the temple. Him and I think some Parker was heard to make that comment out in the community. That's what made my blood boil, is that they keep their damnable sentiments to themselves out in the public. We have enough of these lunatics running loose without someone in the law enforcement fanning the fires by their own comments. So that's what they brought it to you to know that all they were really asking, because they have the highest esteem for you, was please, Sheriff, on this instance, scrutinize it closely yourself, because we didn't want a situation where a deputy would hang a guy with his own prejudices. And we knew that wouldn't happen once you scrutinized the case. Where we were coming from was that here's a kid who doesn't get a cent for taking care of him. And I've heard of all kinds of situations in the community where there have been, I've even got involved in some of them where you couldn't, under the former administration, not under yours, where there'd be some child box upside the head and lose an eardrum, and there would be nothing done by local enforcement about it. And this wasn't inside of my community, and it's over behind the dam. But then here a kid comes along who has a degree in social service, who had come in tears to our church trying to get some help. When the school principal, I think, of Nokomis had asked for the permission to whip the youngster himself out of just pure consternation, and he asking him to back up their school discipline. So the kid tries this, and evidently after so many stealings, so much lying, so much trouble. Even, I think someone said that Duncan James' own son said that the kid is nothing but a troublemaker. He took some crutches of a kid and tried to hit another child, took crutches away from a child. Now, that's the kind of moral of weakness that has been negated, no doubt, by the horribly painful environment that this Anthony came from. But then what we could see from our subjective view, naturally, but still knowing that being kid to be the finest, never had a brush with the law of any type. He's been the highest of ethical persons in our group. Then to see him facing a charge such as, I think they say it's a felony.
It very well could be a felony. You know?
And it just has got my congregation in a stew till they feel like taking not another child. In fact, I talked to Mr. Denny. I said, we want no more children brought up here. Our people want out of this, and if we can place any of these children back in their counties, we wish to do so, because why should you get so much pain for trying? That's, I don't empathize with corporal punishment, but I could certainly empathize with this youngster. I can see how you'd switch him well. Now, all this stuff that they were saying, these two deputies mentioning outside, that he whipped him with a cord, now that I don't believe.
planning, and I'm waiting, I want to see the photographs when they get developed, which we have to send them off, and they'll be back the latter part of this week, and this is what I'm really interested to look at, to see just, you know, you can write in a report what it looks like, and a person can describe it, and two or three, four people, or five people have described what they saw, and I'm anxious to see myself actually the photographs, so then you can say more clearly what it was too much for us, or what may have been used, but my understanding is that they're heavy welts cutting the skin from the back down across the buttocks and down.
Cutting the skin,
the
you say?
Yes.
Cutting the skin. Did they post you a fight that he had the day before, too? I wonder if there's any of this that came from that.
No, this apparently were very fresh welts across the back.
Well, it'd be hard to conceive to me, that the beam would do anything at all to be other than just attempting to get this kid to quit doing the antisocial behaviors. He would never do anything out of anger or brutality. Now, whether he didn't recognize his strength, I can't say. I don't know. I've not really talked to him about the situation, but I do know it'll be a tragedy if this kid suffers the penalty for someone that no one, agencies have put hands down. When we went to our psychologist, he said he's a sociopath. You better wash your hands of him. And in fact, the irony of it was we had, through our denomination, we were working to get him sent to an agricultural mission because the prognosis of everyone looked at him was that he would end up being in the prison system because no way he could get around it. We counseled. We talked lovingly. We gave him the fear of what would happen to his life if he continued on this course. We reinforced good behavior. We denied privileges. He took up so much of our time. I don't know of any church that when children make A's or get good comportment remarks will take up time in the church to give them public praise, for instance. Neither do I know a church that is more consistent to the schools, and Mr. Murphy said that himself, to offer to see that the discipline, that comportment problems are resolved and that we can be freely called upon to do so because schools have enough overload as it is. But then when you give this kind of cooperation and then have a case like this smack you in the face, you can imagine how our people would have been a little apprehensive about your deputies, but not about you. That here they talk racist statements and do it in a public place. That we wondered, are they just going to now try to get blood from a man or give him some understanding, certainly place the child somewhere. We were all too happy to do that. We even offered to pay money to get him in a boarding school. They had him for 1 hour of an interview, and they said, no way. They wouldn't touch him. They just would not touch the kid. Now, and I, that's what makes me feel so sorry, is that a kid who came in tears to us, Beam came in tears, what am I to do with the kid? I've got to keep him after school with me on job. Can't let him go 1 minute. And then we had not got it resolved, and here he comes out being charged as made to look like a child abuser, when I know very well that he had no pattern of that. When 15 youngsters really look up to him as a big brother, he really was a big brother to 15 kids in the garage. He taught them, well, they've got really basic mechanical skills as a result of his kindly influence. And then to have this smack him in the face, our people are just naturally just overwhelmed by it. I hope that it won't go to this degree. I don't know what my people's reaction will be then in the terms of future desire to help children. I think it may whet their... You know, you can see the vantage point we're in here. We take people that nobody else will deal with.
Done with kids.
I think that very well may be what's going to happen. I'm afraid. I've already got some that are... I've had five calls today saying, will you please get this child somewhere? So I talked to Mr. Denny, and he said that their desire was to see it to be kept at a low profile. But I don't know whether it's going to be kept at a low profile or not. But if it gets to a point of court action, I'm just sure as a world my people are going to feel, well, what's the point, you know? No one else takes these children. No one else would take them. And I think that we've made a mistake ever taking some of these children up here. But I yielded to social services and didn't develop what I wanted. It was a large foster home in a city area, because a child who's black stands out anyway, and a child who's troubled from a ghetto, it's just all, it's an altogether different ball game when they move into a small community.
Where it would be very, very tough for them to acclimate themselves to the community.
It is. They're worldly wise, and that's no fault of their own. But we only have, I think, five more like this. Those five have already called me wondering what they're going to do. But no case do we have like Anthony. The others have seemed to be modified till they're making better than passing work in the schools. But if I had known the background,